Welcome to Jay Sekulow Weekend, your source for the latest news, information, and insight for the legal, cultural, and political issues that matter most. Now, Jay Sekulow Weekend.
Defining the traditional definition of marriage between one man and one woman.
Differences on same-sex marriage.
In an Obama-Biden administration, there will be absolutely no distinction from a constitutional standpoint or a legal standpoint between a same-sex and a heterosexual couple.
I know there are differences.
No one would ever propose, not in a McCain-Palin administration, to do anything to prohibit, say, visitations in a hospital.
Guaranteed the same constitutional benefits as it relates to their property rights, their rights of visitation.
Or contracts being signed, negotiated between parties.
Differences on same-sex marriage.
The rights of insurance, the rights of ownership, as heterosexual couples do.
I will tell Americans straight up that I don't support defining marriage as anything but between one man and one woman. And I think through nuances we could go round and round about what that actually means.
Let's try to avoid nuance. Senator, do you support gay marriage?
No, Barack Obama nor I support redefining from a civil side what constitutes marriage. We do not support that.
I'm being as straight up with Americans as I can in my non-support for anything but a traditional definition of marriage.
I know there are differences on same-sex marriage.
We really don't have a difference.
Wonderful, you agree.
Well, there you have it. That's the kind of a montage of what took place yesterday, specifically on the whole issue of the redefinition of marriage and what that means in the election. Our phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Sarah Palin, of course, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party with Senator Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee. Quite a fascinating debate. What do you think? How do you think the debate went? What do you think it means for the general election? How does it all play out? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, in that you heard in that debate, that was about the only major issue on the domestic side that was discussed. It really did focus again on foreign policy and differences. It was a very sharp debate. I'll give you my personal view. I thought both of them did very, very well. The expectations going in were very low for Sarah Palin. I thought she did really well. I thought the information that Senator Biden was very restrained, which was good for his strategy because he had to be careful there. The positions on Israel I thought were very clear as well for Senator Biden and for Governor Palin. I think the Israel issue, by the way, will play big in this upcoming debate as we get more to the foreign and domestic issues in the next presidential election, which is coming up, I think, just this Tuesday, is the next debate. So we need to get that information as well. The marriage issue, the reason that our producer, Eric, put this together was this is an issue that is not getting much play now. And I tell you why. You heard the reason. Did you hear what they said? They both fundamentally agree that there should not be, at least they're saying now, a redefinition of the institution of marriage. What's interesting about that, though, is how does that play with regard to the federal marriage amendment and the calls for that to be passed? How do the candidates view on that? We're getting that information for you. Our phone lines are open. Let's go right to them. Joe is calling from Washington State on line one. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hey, you guys. I'm Sarah Palin, but I was concerned about a comment she made yesterday about a two-state solution in Israel. I don't understand how anyone that calls themselves a Christian and believes in the Bible can support a two-state solution. It's not biblical. It's God's land. He gave it to the Jewish people, and it's not his plan to make two states out of Israel.
Well, Joe, you know my position on this, that I don't agree with the two-state solution. I don't think it's workable as a matter of practice. I think, first of all, from a scriptural standpoint, it's clear. But I don't think it's a workable political solution as well. And both candidates seem to be promoting that. I find that to be very troubling.
And there is, though, a government interest here when we look at things personally and our biblical views, too, but also looking at politically here. The Israeli people have autonomy. And if that's the government that they put in, if they put in a government that supports a two-state solution, we have to let them be autonomous and control their state. And it looks like those politicians in Israel on many of the parties have decided that that's the path they want to go.
Yeah, I think more of it is a showing of cooperation, realizing it's probably not going to happen. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. We'll be taking your calls when we come back. Phone lines are already jammed. Keep calling. Go to ACLJ.org for updated information. Folks, we've got a great handbook for you. Everybody that's listening, get the ACLJ Election Handbook. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. That's for the Election Handbook, 1-877-989-2255. Updated information, ACLJ.org.
It's one of the most important rights we have as citizens of the United States, the right to vote. The American Center for Law and Justice wants to encourage you to participate in this November's election. The ACLJ won't tell you who to vote for, but the ACLJ certainly wants to encourage you to be active. Exercise your First Amendment rights during this election season and make it a point to cast your ballot on Election Day. The ACLJ has prepared a special booklet just for you, free of charge, this election season. It's called the ACLJ Election Handbook, a critical resource to help you through what can sometimes become a confusing journey for Christians in exercising your rights to be active and participate fully in the political process. Get this important resource now. Find out the do's and don'ts this election season. Call now for your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
The Supreme Court of the United States granting review out of those Ten Commandment cases that we represent. This is a big, big case, huge ramifications.
It's a case that's likely to change the legal landscape in America, and the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of this landmark legal battle. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow will present oral arguments to the Supreme Court on critical First Amendment case involving the Ten Commandments and other displays.
This could help preserve upwards of 4,000 of these Ten Commandment monuments.
There's so much at stake with this Supreme Court case. Our history, our heritage is on the line. The ACLJ must get the High Court to overturn a disturbing decision, a ruling that could force cities and states to make a troubling choice: remove existing displays or permit any group to display any monument in public places. The briefs have been filed and oral arguments are set for November 12th at the Supreme Court. Jay and his legal team are intensely preparing for this case. This is the time to pray for Jay and his legal team. With so much at stake, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Thank you.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Virginia's got an interesting issue developing. Governor Kaine has said that he has affirmed his support for a new statewide policy under which state troopers serving as chaplains will not be allowed to pray in Jesus' name, explaining that he can pray without mentioning Jesus. Folks, this is exactly what I'm concerned about when you got the government telling chaplains how to pray. Whether it's in the military, now it's here in the state of Virginia. This is creating a big stir. There are 16 chaplains in the state police, and evidently now six of them already have resigned in protest over this.
That's right. And then Governor Tim Kaine of Virginia, and he's become very well known nationally, not those of us just here in Virginia, but also those who watch politics closely, because he was a big supporter of Barack Obama's, even during the hotly contested primary. Now, here's something else to listen to here. Governor Tim Kaine, and just listen to this, he's affirmed his support for a new statewide policy under which the state troopers who serve as chaplains, so they, I think, voluntarily serve as chaplains, right, here, will not be allowed to pray in Jesus' name, explaining that he can pray without mentioning Jesus. That's what Tim Kaine said.
I mean, I can't
and
even...
we always go back to that, is that what is a prayer without a faith group? It's just this supreme being. Really better not to even just demean the act for anyone who's religious, whether you're a Christian or another religion. Why demean this act of faith to pray by making it so generic that it means nothing?
They're going
to
tell the Jewish chaplain that's a rabbi that for the state troopers that you can't say the Shema in Hebrew because it would be, you know, inappropriate. I mean, this is the absurd nature of it. And you realize, of course, it's primarily targeting who? Christians, of course. Why? Because it says, in Jesus' name. We're going to have more on this. We are going to write a demand letter to government officials and see what we can get involved here. This is, I think, it's some really troubling. We're bringing this. I know we got the political debate to get right back to, but this is really, really troubling.
Yeah, I'm reading more comments from Governor Kaine, who, again, he's put himself out there in this politics of this election cycle as a major surrogate for Barack Obama. And this is a quote about why he's saying it's okay to not mention Jesus. And this is when none of this makes any sense at all. Quote, I would never do anything to inhibit anybody's religious worship. Well, he already is doing that by saying you can't say Jesus.
Right.
Then he goes on to say, it doesn't diminish my ability to worship my God, to pray to the Father or the Lord without mentioning Jesus Christ. But here's the problem.
Well, who does
if
he make that decision,
saying
first
that
of
you
all?
You can't mention Jesus, but you can say Father or Lord. A group like American Giant for Separation of Church and State is going to jump all over that and say, no, you can't. If you've already said that they can't say one thing, and these other words are just other words for that. And why is Tim Kaine, the governor of Virginia, now becoming theologian Tim Kaine or pastor Tim Kaine and telling everyone how they should or should not pray?
Folks, we're getting on top of the situation. I've got our lawyers looking at it right now, and we're going to get a demand letter out, and maybe next week we'll let you know how you could take some direct action, see if we can get this thing reversed. I think we might be able to do it. It looks like there's going to be a big rally in November, so we'll get information there. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also say, we've got a great resource for you, and I want everyone that's listening to the broadcast to have a copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. It is a really great book for you, and it goes through what you can say, what you cannot say, what churches can do, what you can't do, voter registration, candidate debates, the First Amendment. I mean, a whole discussion for your church and pastors as well as you individually. You go to your phones right now. Everyone that's listening to me needs a copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. Here's the number. You call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 for our election handbook.
Let's go right to the phones. Lots of calls coming in. Adam from California on line one. Adam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Jay Sekulow Live. I listen to you every morning, man. You're such a blessing.
Thanks.
You're hardcore with what you do. Amen. I just wanted to say about the debate when she was speaking about the same-sex marriage. I mean, when you get back to the Bible and the ways that God always founded this nation biblically, and we're so far from that now, I mean, even the government's trying to take, you know, the Bible and use it to, you know, further their votes or to encourage their people. But, you know, only God knows where their heart is. But the foundation of a man and a woman is based on the Bible.
Well, here's what you got. You got both candidates saying that they don't support same-sex marriage. I mean, both the Republicans and Democrats said they don't. That what they both talked about, though, that they did support were certain civil union type of rights. Although Governor Palin never said civil unions, nor did Joe Biden. But they talked about rights. And there was a lot of agreement on that as well. What about the federal marriage amendment? There was a lot of talk about this, which, by the way, regardless of your view on, was a big topic of debate in the 2004 election. Where's that playing for these candidates here?
I think because it did not play into last night's discussion of same-sex marriage last night, that was a good thing for Governor Palin, because another issue would have come up, which happened throughout the debate, where Joe Biden could have said, but you know what, John McCain voted the same way as Barack Obama, or John McCain voted the same way as I did, so don't try to make this distinguishing factor about this. John McCain did not support the federal marriage amendment on marriage between one man and one woman. In fact, this was his comment. I just pulled up a news story from 2004. Quote, "The constitutional amendment we're debating tonight strikes me as antithetical in every way to the core philosophy of Republicans." Now, he supports state amendments, but he would not support a federal...
Yeah, that's a federalism
so
issue, and there's a lot of people that say that. There's
there
a federalism
is a
issue there.
But this is an issue where you've got a situation where it's harder to make a contrast, and I think that was a theme throughout the night in some of the debate. I think Governor Palin did well. Unfortunately, though, she had to spend a lot of her time trying to make a distinction that on paper, when you don't get into these kind of topics, the distinction between federalism and states' rights...
No one's going to pick that up.
No one goes to that level. Even the moderator doesn't.
Except for the people listening to this broadcast. They know the difference between state rights and federalism and how that plays into the constitutional framework. But most people, you're right, do not.
And it makes it a very difficult debate to make lots of distinguishments between the two candidates and between Joe Biden and John McCain's Senate voting record, which is about as long as each other. So let's go back to the phones. I want to hear your comments about it. Everybody sees it differently, and you hear different things throughout the debate. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Richard from Colorado on line two. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. My question is, and like I told the gentleman that answered the phone, I am an Obama supporter, but I consider myself a Christian, so I have no animosity
to
Governor Palin. But I'm just wondering, where is her substance?
Well, what you're referring to, I think, Richard, is that some commentator said this morning that she appeared to be programmed, so to speak. She had three or four points she wanted to make, and she stuck to those. Listen, I don't think that's necessarily a bad strategy, by the way. When I'm at the Supreme Court of the United States, I only have 30 minutes to make an argument. In this particular case, I'm arguing soon. It'll only be 20 minutes. I've got a theme that I stick with. It's, you know, in the particular case, and you stick with it. That's what she did. She took a different debate strategy. I think it worked for her, frankly. We'll see how that plays. At the end of the day, does this move the needle for John McCain any? I'm not sure it does. I think you still have the same issues of whether that the who's going to, you know, win this thing is going to come right down to the wire, although the trend right now is definitely going towards Barack Obama. That may change in the next go-round with the next debate. Who knows? Well, we'll see. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Charles from North Carolina on line one. Charles, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah, the comment I wanted to make was I was surprised, not so much surprised at how Ms. Palin did, but she seemed, like you said, so programmed. And it seemed like she had a lot of time to rehearse everything that she wanted to say, and she just tried too hard to really communicate with the people. And
well,
and
listen, you know what? This was her first debate as vice president. And she, I think she did a really good job. I think Joe Biden did a very good job, too, because Joe Biden's problem was overperforming. He did not. He was very calculated. He notched it back a couple and was very respectful. Sarah Palin had to show that she had a command of the topic. She did. I think they both did very, very well. I mean, you know, as far as who won or who lost, the voters are going to decide that. Again, I'm not so sure that means anything for the end. But it certainly erased this concern, or at least alleviated for a lot of people this concern after the Katie Couric interview and how that all plays out.
Yeah, and I think that was something that had to change, because those interviews, as we've said on this program, we were talking about the last
year,
were bad. I mean, those were bad interviews. It happens to people who are on TV, but those are not the way you want to enter the final month of a campaign. That being said, Governor Palin treated this debate very differently. I mean, not disrespectful, I wouldn't go that far, but really throwing aside the notions of a typical debate. And that may work.
Yep.
That may be what people wanted to see, is not this formal setting. You heard her say over and over, maybe I'm not answering this the way you want, Washington, or you want, moderator, but I'm going to answer this the way I think the American people want it. And you have to be the judge of that. We all are going to see this a different way. Those of us who are involved in politics, and of course those of you who listen to shows like ours and talk radio, you're really involved. And you see this in a very different way. We go a few steps more in the analysis than most people are going to do. If they watch the debate, they watch it, they make their decision, and they move on with it, while we go back and discuss and try to figure out exactly what happened and what effect it will have. My opinion is it's not going to have a huge effect. There's a new debate on Tuesday.
And that puts the focus right back on Senator Obama and Senator McCain.
Right.
So that's how you're going to have it. Folks, we're getting ready to take a break. The phone lines are jammed. We're going to get to your calls and keep doing this. We've got a great resource for you. I want everyone that's listening to us right now, Jordan's going to let you know how to do this. We've got this ACLJ election handbook, and we really want to get this into everybody's hand. It is a great resource.
That's right. I say every day, and now we're going into the week, and that you've got less and less time to get your free copy right now. It's every day that passes by. It's an extra day. We can't get this into the hands of you, your pastor. We encourage you to call and request one for your pastor as well. It is important to let them know what their rights are about doing those civil service sermons, to tell people it's important to get out there and exercise their vote. What's legal, what's not, what you can and can't do. You got to get your free copy. Call right now. We're running out of time. 877-989-2255 is our toll-free number to get your free copy of our election handbook. 877-989-2255. Absolutely free. You can also go to aclj.org and request it online.
Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com. It's one of the most important rights we have as citizens of the United States, the right to vote. The American Center for Law and Justice wants to encourage you to participate in this November's election. The ACLJ won't tell you who to vote for, But the ACLJ certainly wants to encourage you to be active. Exercise your First Amendment rights during this election season and make it a point to cast your ballot on Election Day. The ACLJ has prepared a special booklet just for you, free of charge, this election season. It's called the ACLJ Election Handbook, a critical resource to help you through what can sometimes become a confusing journey for Christians in exercising your rights to be active and participate fully in the political process. Get this important resource now. Find out the do's and don'ts this election season. Call now for your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Well, it looks like we've distributed with phone calls and people requesting the election handbook online, probably close to 10,000 of them now, or certainly, probably pretty close to 10,000 of these. We want everybody to have it. We've never offered this before. We're doing it this week, but folks, time's just running out here, as Jordan mentioned, because the election is, we're literally, what are we, Eric, 32 days away from the election, our producer just told me. And so we've got to get this to you right away. We've got it printed. They're ready to go. It's the ACLJ Election Handbook. We want you to have it. Call our toll-free number. We'll get one for you and your pastor. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 for the Election Handbook.
Let's go back to the phones. Leona is calling from California on line 6. Leona, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Leona.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. I just wanted to comment. I think I'm a conservative Republican woman, and I think Sarah Palin really, really went for it last night. She was prepared, and those people at the Saturday Night Live and everybody who's making fun of her, she proved them wrong. She was articulate.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, I think this, Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live, was, they make jokes, it's funny, ha, 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 but nobody can say that Sarah Palin did a bad job last night. You have to say she did a very good job. That doesn't mean, listen, but it's political satire. It's going to happen during this season, no matter it's Barack Obama, John McCain, Joe Biden, or Sarah Palin. But she did it. Listen, they both did very well last night.
Yeah, you have to be careful. You can criticize the mainstream media for attacks or what you think is unfair.
Yeah, but let's not, I'm not going to
Saturday Night Live. I want to say this. One, Katie Couric's questions to Governor Palin were not some secret attacks or surprise questions. And Saturday Night Live is Saturday Night Live. They're going to do this to you whether you had the best performance of your life
right.
or the worst performance of your life. You're giving them ammunition each way. And it's a show people tune into to laugh about and no one takes seriously. But I think this, Leona, I think what people said is she's now gotten past this. Governor Palin got past this. Joe Biden got past this. They both got past this without any major gaffes, which is really all the vice presidential debate is about. And next Tuesday, it's going to go back to John McCain versus Barack Obama. And we're probably not going to talk much ever again about this debate. It was interesting to watch because of Governor Palin.
It was actually, I'll tell you this, I thought it was more interesting than the debate between Obama and McCain. But having said that, they're the vice presidents. I think, listen, what one thing Sarah Palin did, whether you agree with her positions or not, and I thought she did a really good job both in her strategy and her statements. But you know what, though? Here's what's important. She got past this. She's not a heavyweight thinker. She got past this. She's a lightweight. She doesn't know the issues. She got past that last night. And I think for her, that's good. Now, Joe Biden also showed that he had tremendous campaign credibility and depth on the issues. He's a campaigner. You could tell that when you look at Joe Biden. There may be a lot of issues where you disagree, but he did a very good job last night.
You can tell he spent over 30 years in the U.S. Senate.
Absolutely, that was obvious.
He's really talked about these because he's had to vote on these issues, and these votes follow you. But let's go back to the phones. Lots of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Jeff from California on line 5. Jeff, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jeff.
Thank you. I think it was Tom Coburn, of Senator from Oklahoma, if I have it right, has accused that it is unconstitutional.
What are we talking? Whoa. Accused what's unconstitutional? What are you talking about?
The involvement in the mortgage business. The entire charter of Fannie and Freddie said it's been wrong.
I don't think he has said that. Go ahead, Jordan.
He may have said that initially, and he definitely has had some major criticisms for the Senator Coburn. But he voted for
the financial bailout.
Financial bailout on Tuesday. He actually broke away from the other Oklahoma senator Inhofe, who voted against it. Tom Coburn voted for it. He said he did so reluctantly. I'm not sure how far he went against saying it was unconstitutional, because I'm not sure if he said that he would have voted for it right. on Tuesday, though I don't think he liked it. And there were a lot of members of Congress in the Senate.
Is, is it going to pass today? Or we go, whatever our guys
we don't
watching
know. We
say.
Keep, we keep talking. Yesterday they were thinking it's very close. We had Dan Bennett on from our D.C. office on from Capitol Hill. And they were talking, and you're talking about 10. You got to shift 10 people here. Can that be done? They think so, but there are no guarantees with this one. They thought they, you know, this was in hand last time, which it was. And then people say Nancy Pelosi's speech or whatever. You can try to attribute that to. The fact is that both parties have got to convince people to switch here. And these are all people who are in very close races who are going to be very reluctant to do so.
All of this plays into the political process. It plays into a major political issue, the financial situation and the bailout. So it's huge. By the way, again, the ACLJ Election Handbook is our gift to you. Call for it right away. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Never offered this before. We've got a limited number of these. The ACLJ Election Handbook. Make sure you ask for one for your pastor as well.
Hannah is calling from California online too. Hannah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. I just want to say that I absolutely support Sarah Palin. She's well-spoken, and I think she did a great job last night. I think people are making it look like she's incompetent because they wish she was. But the fact is, if you watch the interviews and the speeches in the debate, she held her own.
Well, let me tell you this. I think there's one thing where there's no doubt, and I'm not endorsing any candidates on either party on this airway. I don't do that. But she did. No one can say I'm an advocate. To some, I can't imagine anybody saying she didn't do a good job. She did a very, very good job in that debate, both the way she handled it and the way she responded to the questions. She had her strategy, and she stuck to that strategy, even when the question's trying to get her off the point, which is, look, a good question is going to try to get you off the point. She stuck to those strategies and did a good job doing it.
When I look to Governor Palin, I look at three different things that were really the highlights so far of her being in this race. First, her speech and her announcement by John McCain in Ohio, her Republican National Convention speech, which took her to another level politically. And then now the debate performance. Now, within the Republican National Convention and the debate performance, she's had some two tough things. The two interviews, Charlie Gibson and Katie Kirk. Katie Kirk being the toughest of both. But people are going to look past that now.
Right.
It will be interesting to see if she does media availability. We don't know that. She has not been. And she kind of hinted last night, I'm not doing much of that. We also don't know how that will play into things with how the media treats her the final month of this campaign. Let's go back to the phones, take another call. Joanne's calling from California on line one. Joanne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Okay, I'm not a person for Obama, but you guys are supposed to be a bipartisan organization, but it seems like you're going for Palin. Like, everything that comes out is for Palin.
I don't. You must not have been listening to the program. Did I not compliment four or five times?
Yeah, you.
Yes, but yeah, I think the performance that Joe Biden, I said he was flawless. I mean, whether you agree with any of these candidates,
I've also spent the last 2 days talking about how Governor Palin had the most to lose here because she had such a bad week
in the media.
In the media.
Yeah, so we are very careful about giving you information, giving you legal analysis, giving you political analysis without endorsing a candidate. So, Joanna, you know, I'm sorry that you are taking it way out of context, and I think I appreciate that you're listening and continue to listen, but you're wrong on that one.
I've actually been counting the calls today, and most people have been questioning Governor Palin's performance. We had a couple who said they'd support it. We've had a couple who said they really didn't like it at all, pretty even down the line. But I will say this, too. The bailout is a perfect example. When we're talking about politics, of course, people's own personal persuasions start coming through some. And when we take callers,
sure,
they obviously do. But on the bailout specifically, we have not endorsed a side on this. We wanted to hear from you on what exactly you thought about the issue, because this is an economic issue. It's an emergency kind of situation that's happened the last 4 days.
And it's impacting politics in a very significant way. It's become the lead issue where people thought it was not going to be. They thought it was going to be. Remember what people said a year ago? The issue is going to be what? The war in Iraq and immigration. How much are you hearing about immigration? Right, nothing.
And I want people to know out there, you can always call us and give us your opinion, whether you think that's something that we agree with or not. We want you to call, and that's why we take those calls on the air if you listen to the program.
Let me give you a couple notes on a couple of other things. Obviously, it's going to be a big weekend with the debate on finances, and I think we'll see if we get something. We will keep you posted on Monday. We'll be going live. I'll be in Washington. Jordan will be in our studios here in Virginia, so we'll both be tied up live. We'll get some of our Washington, D.C. staff involved as well, so we'll give you a report from Capitol Hill. I'll be giving that. We'll get Than and Drew on as well. We'll keep you posted on the economic bailout, what that means, how does this play politically, then getting ready for the next debate, which is going to be John McCain and Barack Obama. So that'll be the next one. So we're in political season, folks. And remember, during all of this, we're in the preparation for a major Supreme Court case that I'm arguing the week after the election. And as I'm getting that oral argument ready, I start my moot courts actually this week. I'd encourage you to pray for us. I'm being very bold in asking you to pray for us. Pray for our team and give us insight in the right questions. So we'd appreciate your prayers. As we close the broadcast out, you go to your phones. We've got the ACLJ Election Handbook. The end of the week here, folks. We're running out of time to get it to you. So you call us now. Get the Election Handbook. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 for our Election Handbook. And updated information, of course, at ACLJ.org.